show you cool videos of like ridiculous stunts and stuff only because we're in the series. But if you know me, then you know that I'm like the opposite. I'm like the friend that's at home that's like, everybody's like, let's go do something crazy. You know, like Ryan, my friend Ryan, he's like, let's go steal a ship. And I'm sitting at home and I'm like, how about we just watch a movie and we be safe inside of our house? Like, that's me. I'm not a daredevil at all. But we're in a series called Ridiculous, so obviously I had to show some crazy videos to you guys. But I actually do. I live with a professional daredevil stuntman, and his name is Jad Hale. So Jad is Lindsay and Gary's son, and the kid is, how old is he, like 18 months? 21 months, close enough. And the kid is 21 months, so he's like this tall, okay? And he does the most ridiculous, crazy stuff I've ever seen in my life, okay? So first off, he's like, he likes to jump, so he's just like, like that. Then he does this thing where he runs at the couch full speed. He's just like, I don't know what you're going to do, but he just runs, and he's like, boom, and just hits the couch, and then it gets better, okay? We get home from Summit, our winter camp, 2 weeks ago, and we're all just like laying on the couch like, oh, I'm so dead. And of course, Jad's like, let's play. And so he is like running around doing this crazy thing, and he hops up on our couch. And I mean, couches are what, like this tall or so, a couple feet high? So he gets up on the couch, and Lindsay's sitting on the floor, and he's like, jump? And I'm like, this is literally almost as tall as him. He's like, jump, jump, and he jumps off of it. It's like way up here. You're talking about not even two-year-old. He jumps off it. I'm like, what the heck? This kid is going to like break 18 bones by the time he's five. Sorry, he's going to. I'm sorry. He's going to. And I was like, this kid is crazy. And he does another thing. And so if you know me, you know I don't like morning at all. Like, I would sleep through every single morning if I could because I hate it. No matter if it's 6 a.m. or 9:30 a.m., I hate it. Because I do a lot of this at night. Show the picture. Awkward. Oh, I do a lot of that at night. You guys are all like, wait, what? Just kidding. Just kidding. That's me. And I had to show it because it's me, and that's a solo cup at a church function. But I had to show you because that's me and Marley. And if you know Marley, she's, like, perfect. And so I just had to be like, I do a lot of this at night. I don't actually drink. I'm sorry. You're probably really confused right now. But I just wanted to show this picture, that's honestly. But, okay, take it off. But, okay, I'll be honest with you. Gary has a nickname for me in the morning when he sees me, and it's drunky. It's because I wake up, and I'm like, ugh. I walk out, and they, like, take pictures of me in the morning. It's really weird. But I hate the morning. And so Jad has figured out that he can just bust through my door because my room is downstairs, and he comes and plays. And so he's figured out that he doesn't have to do the doorknob. He's like, I'm just coming in. It's like I'm laying in bed over here. I'm like, oh, I'm out. I'm like, this is awesome. And all of a sudden, it's like this. It's like, boom. And then I see this little head peek around. It's like, Georgior. I'm like, oh. Like, honestly, if there's a way to wake up in the morning, 21-month-old kid that's like Georgior, oh, that's a good way to wake up. I love it, honestly. I love it. But we live, he does some crazy things. And so, segue, we're in a series called Ridiculous. And so if you're here last week, then Gary talked, and he kind of introed the series, and he talked about, actually, I shouldn't have said that because I was in junior high, but I didn't hear what he talked about. But we're in the series called Ridiculous. And for this specific series, we are using the word ridiculous in, like, a good way. So we're not saying, like, oh, my gosh, her hair's so ridiculous. Like, not that kind of a thing. We're like, that is awesome. That's sick. That's filthy. That's nasty. That's nasty. Do you guys say that? Nasty? Whatever. It's a good word. Nasty in the good way, okay? So we're using the word ridiculous as, like, a good thing, okay? Not a bad thing. Good, ridiculous, awesome type of a thing. Oh, my hair's all messed up now. I mean, specifically, we're looking at the Old Testament of the Bible. So we have the Bible, the old, the first, like, half-ish. We're looking at this guy named Elisha and some of the crazy, crazy things that happened to him, the ridiculous stories that happened to him in his life. And so today, I want to focus on one specific one, and that's the fact that when we give what we have, when we offer what we have to God, whether it be time, money, possessions, our life, whatever it is, when we offer that up to God, God says, I'm going to provide for you every single time when you're in need. And so I want to actually dig right into this story. I'm going to read you guys the first half of the story, just so we can kind of get a feel for what's going on. So if you have your Bibles, it's going to be up on the screen as well. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4. And it says, one day, a widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. So I know you guys don't actually read because you're in high school. So spark notes to what happened in this story. So basically what happens is there's this guy named Elisha and he's a prophet. And so what a prophet is, if you don't know, it's a guy who's called by God. Like God says, I'm gonna speak through you. And that's what a prophet is. So he's a pretty important dude. And so what they did back in the Bible is they kind of stuck together. They helped each other out when they needed it. They like supported each other. And so this lady, she comes to Elisha and she says, hey, like my husband, he used to work with you. And, you know, he loved God and he died and he owes people money. He owes them like camels or something. I don't know what they had back then, like credit card camels. And, I don't know. And so she was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. They're going to take my son away, both of my sons away, if I can't pay this debt off. And like, can you guys imagine for a second? I was thinking about like my sister and me, if my parents came home, they're like, so we just bought a new like 80-inch television. Like, we can't pay for it, so you're going to have to go work in a shoe factory in China. Like, sorry, you're going to be a slave now. Like, I would be like, sweet, I love shoes. I'm out of here. But like my sister, she'd be like, oh my gosh. She would be freaked out. And so that is what's happening here is they're like, we're going to take your kid away because you can't pay off this debt. And so Elisha says, like, what do you have? Do you have anything that you can give them? And she, if you read what she says, it's important. She says nothing at all. So she's giving up. She's like, I have nothing except for this little flask of olive oil. And I brought a little flask of olive oil with me. This is probably about the size of it. I need a volunteer that isn't afraid to get messy. Isn't afraid to get messy. Baylor? Baylor? This is Baylor. I like to run with Baylor sometimes. I kick his butt, obviously. I'm way faster than he is. But Baylor, you're not afraid to get messy, right? A little messy. Not a ton messy, just a little messy. You don't want to take the jacket off. So they have olive oil, and this is what they used it for, okay? There were like 10 things they used it for, okay? But there were three specific things that they used it for. So the first one is, I'm going to pour a little bit into your hand. Oh, yeah. Cool. So, anybody know how to open olive oil? Somebody want to help me? This is push down? Yeah, this is cool. It says there's arrows and they're pointing in a circle. I'm here, you try it. I'm faster than you though. So this is cool. Any ladies in here know how to open this? Well, I'm not picking on her. She just... Have you ever opened that before? Oh, this sucks. This is why... Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, this is cool, man. This is why you test things out before. You know what? Does somebody... Okay, this is the last call. Does anybody know? Here, I'm going to have you try to open this. Sit down here for a second. Sit down here for a second. So basically what I want you guys to realize before I show you what olive oil was used for in a really weird way is I want you guys to... You got it! Woo! What did you do? Oh, it's a little cap. That's weird. Why would they do that? Okay, this is olive oil and this is what she had. This is why it was important, okay? First, let me pour you a little bit here. Come over here. Obviously, I don't cook a whole lot, okay? So you are going to first put some on your skin. Use it as a skin moisturizer. Rub that in. This feels so nice. Dude, you're gonna be glowing, okay? Next is going to be, they used it for shampoo. Dude, I know, it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess up that look, that cutie look. There you go. Put a little bit. Oh, sorry, I put a lot on there. I'm sorry. Oh, jeez. Just put a little bit in your hair. Just do it on the side. Do it on the side. I told you you're going to get messy. I'm sorry. That's okay. And the last thing is that they drink it. Do you want to try it? It's not gross. They actually drink it as a morning beverage. You want to try it? They actually do. I promise you they do. Just try a little bit. Just try to sit. Baylor. Do it. It's good. I promise you. Well, I don't know that it's good, but they drink it. Is it? How is it? Doesn't taste like anything. Hey, give it up for Baylor. Give it up for Baylor. That was fun, wasn't it? I love you. You're good. You can sit down. I'll hold your jacket up here for you. I might wear it because you're a cutie. Thank you, Baylor. I love you. And you can repay me back somehow. I don't know how, but... All right, now that that's over. Okay, so what... Obviously, that was cool. She has this little thing of olive oil. And the key that I want you to focus on in this story is the fact that she doesn't realize what she has. She's so focused on what she doesn't have, which is like money or camels or whatever it is to pay off this debt. She's so focused on what she doesn't have that she doesn't realize that she might have something right in front of her, and that's this olive oil. And so rewind in my life about 3 years or so. I always feel like I have a girl story when I get up here, and I have another one. So like 3 years ago, I was, what? No, not player. I was the opposite of that. I was like, 3 years ago, I was like, I need a girlfriend. I didn't have a girlfriend. I was like, in the words of Jason Derulo, one of my favorite artists, I was riding solo, and I was like, I need to ride Dulo. I need to be, Jason Derulo, Dulo. And I was like, what can I do? Do I open up georgiordate.com? Like, do I take applications? What can I do to get girls to line up to date me? And I was like, stop running. Buy a car. And not just any car, a sweet car. A sweet ride that I'd drive down the street, and girls wouldn't even have to see me. They'd just be like, I see the car. I want you. And I was like, all right, so I'm going to go get a car. So I show up at the car dealership with my grandpa, and
okay.
My grandpa's a nice guy. And we get out of the car, and we find some cars, like new cars, and I was like, I totally could have bought it. And there was nothing. There was nothing that was like chick magnet. And I was like, okay. So me and my grandpa get back in the car, and as I'm getting into the car, I see her over there. You should have seen the back end on that. Oh. Show what I'm talking about. Oh, look at that. Oh, you should see the bumper on her. See, I got you there. You guys thought I was talking about a girl. So this was my nitro, and I decided that this guy right here, this girl, was going to get me the ladies. I was convinced. I was like, I spent a ton of money on this. Look at the rims on that thing. 20-inch Euromax rims. I washed it once a week, vacuumed it twice a week. No joke. I did that. And I kept it clean, and I was convinced. I was like, this thing is going to get me my next girlfriend. This thing is going to get me to it. But God was like, psych, that's not going to happen. And so after like 9 months of paying a lot of money for my baby, I realized that it's not going to get me a girlfriend and that I'm wasting a ton of money. And so I traded it in for the car that I have now, and I forgot to take a picture of it. But if you've seen it, it's a nice little, I guess you call it a station wagon, little thing. It's a Dodge Caliber. It's red, and it's got diamond plating. You know what that is? It's like the metal with like the little crosses on it. It's pretty sick. It's pretty awesome. But I traded that in because I realized that I was so focused on what I didn't have, like this lady in the story. I was so focused on what I didn't have. Didn't have a cool car. Didn't have a girlfriend. That like I lost sight of what God had in front of me. And I was like, I could have used the money for something like school. Stuff like that. And I lost sight of that. And I feel like in our lives, all of us, myself included, in different areas, not just with a car, we get so focused on like, oh, I gotta have that girl, I gotta have that guy, I gotta have that pack of gum or whatever it is you high schoolers like doing. I was like, I gotta have that, and so we're so focused on that we don't realize what's in front of us. And we miss this phrase, and I think it's such an important phrase. It's gonna be your first fill-in on your notes, and it's when you don't have what you really want. God is what you really need. When you don't have what you really want, God is what you really need. See, myself included in this, for so long, I feel like in our lives, we just go around trying to figure out, like, what's going to fill this emptiness that I have in my heart? What's going to make me happy right now? What's going to fill me up? What's going to give me that buzz? What's going to make me feel that way? You know, and I'm not a lady. I'm not a girl, obviously. But I feel like, ladies, sometimes I don't want to like accuse you. I'm not saying this in an accusing way. I'm just saying I feel like you can sit in front of the mirror as long as you want, looking at these magazines, these TV shows, these commercials, and they're like, this is how you got to dress. This is how you got to put your makeup on and do your hair. Like you sit in front of the mirror for so long, just being like, I got to look that way. And God is saying, he's like, I've made you a beautiful person, and you're losing sight of that. Like, I've made you more beautiful in here in your heart than you could ever make yourself on the outside. And dudes, I'm guilty of this too. We get all into this, like, swaggy, like, yo, what up? I'm cool. I'm swaggy. Don't talk to me unless you're cool, unless you got swag. We get into this mode of, like, you got to be cool to talk to me. I can't talk to you because you play Pokemon. You're like, that's weird. They're like, you play sports. You run. I can't talk to you. We get so into this that we lose sight of, like, the person that God has made us, like a hardworking person that has a lot to offer. And I guarantee you, there's nothing on this earth that's, like, of the earth that can satisfy you and fill you up the way that God can. There is nothing. Like, you may think there's something, like a car, but trust me, after 9 months, I was done. I was like, this is not doing me anything but making me feel bad about myself and making me lose money. And so there's nothing on this earth that can fill you up the way that God can. And so I want to go back to this story in 2 Kings and kind of finish this story off about Elijah and this lady so that we can see what happens when she finally realizes what she has. And so it says, Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. That's pretty ridiculous. That's pretty crazy. So if you don't understand what happened, basically Elisha says, what you need to do is you need to go get as many bowls and jars and stuff as you can, bring them into your house, and then just start pouring out of this little flask of olive oil that you have. He says, start doing that. And like it was like Houdini street magic. It just keeps coming. It just keeps pouring out. And pretty soon there's so much olive oil in all of these flasks, they don't have any more. They don't have any more like jars. And so it just stops. And they have enough that they can sell it, and they can pay off their debts, and they can live on it from there on out. And I think it's so cool how she was so focused on what she didn't have, but then she realized what she had. She finally had faith. She's like, all right, Elisha, I have nothing left. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just have this little thing of olive oil. And she finally says, all right, God, I'm going to have faith in you, and I'm just going to start pouring this olive oil out. And he comes through. He provides for her. And the cool, one of the many, many cool things about God is that he does a lot with a little. And so you can write that down. God does a lot with a little. She had faith that the little amount that she had in front of her was going to do a ton, was going to turn her life around. And she did, and she had faith, and God came through, and he provided for her. And when I was thinking about how are some ways that God has provided for us in my life and the people around me, I think of Taylor. She did the welcome up here. And so Taylor comes in. She was an intern last year, and she comes into the office almost every single week, pretty much. And she does stuff like she writes postcards to people. She does things like that in the office. And so for a couple of months, Taylor, we were talking to her. We'd bug her and joke with her and ask her, like, what are you going to do after college? Like, you going to move to California and help us plant a church? Like, what are you going to do? And I kind of got this feeling from Taylor that she didn't know. She's like, I don't know what I have to offer. Like, school, probably not your thing. Sports, Like, there was nothing that Taylor was like, I can offer this. And finally one day, she comes into the office and she's just like, I'm going to move to California and help you guys plant a church. And I was like, whoa. That's crazy. Like, she's just graduating high school, and she's saying, God, here's what I have to offer you. Like, I don't really know. You don't know what you're going to do down there, huh? You're still figuring that out? Yeah, she's still figuring out what she's going to do. But she's saying, God, here's what I have to offer. Like, right now, it may be a little. It may seem like a little, but I'm going to have faith that you're going to do something big with what I have to offer. And I think that's so cool that she's saying, I'm just going to start living down there, like, help change people's lives in a different part of the country. And so, yay, Taylor. I think that's so awesome that you're doing that. And this is just a great example of how when we offer what we have to God, he will provide for us. And so that's going to be your next fill-in on your notes is offer what you have and God will provide. I guarantee you, because God says he will, that as Taylor continues to offer herself up, offer her life to God down in San Francisco, he's going to come through for her. He will provide for her. Not necessarily in the way that she knows. She may not know that yet, but God will, he says, I will provide for you. And working at a church, I think one of the biggest excuses I hear for somebody saying, like, I don't know how to get involved. I don't know how to offer what I have is they say, like, I don't have anything important. Like, I can't get up here like Maverick and sing on the stage or play guitar like these guys in keys and drums. I can't get up and talk to people for 30 minutes. I don't know how to do all that. I can't lift a speaker up. And I hear that excuse, like, I don't have anything important to offer. But the thing is that God does so much with a little. One of the cool stories, actually, that we saw happen this week was we have a group here at High Point called the Mingler Team. And so you guys, pretty much every single person experiences them each week. They stand at the door. They stand at the door out there. They're walking around in here. They're saying hi to everybody that they can. Some of them are wearing name tags. They're called the Minglers. And what their goal is they're just trying to talk to you. Like, if you're here for the first time, all they're trying to do is get to know you. Say hi, like, in a genuine way. Not just like, hey, I don't want you to feel awkward at church. It's like, hey, I actually want to get to know you. That's why they're saying they're on the Mingler Team. And all it is a bunch of people that know how to say hi to somebody. That's all it is. It's nothing, like, special. It doesn't sound like, oh, you can't get up there and lead music for thousands of people. But God says, I'm going to do just as much with that little amount that you have as somebody that could get up here and lead worship can do. And actually, I want to read you guys because I think it's so cool. We sent out a survey, and got it right here. So we sent out a survey if you come here for the first time, and we ask you to fill it out. And just like, what was your experience like at High Point? Did you feel welcomed? What can we improve on? And so we got one this week, and it just shows how important something as little as saying hi to somebody is to God. And so I want to read you what this person says. First off, we asked, did you feel welcome? And there's three responses. There's yes, with an exclamation point. There's kind of, and there's no. And so this person said yes. Said, yes, I did feel welcome. And then they wrote this. They wrote, several people carried on a conversation with me. And despite me and my brother feeling awkward, I felt that everyone welcomed well. Although all of them were guys, okay, ladies, where you at? I'm cool with, but I feel like a church must have all the common goal to welcome someone new. And so I say, nice job, awesome job, Minglers, for making somebody feel welcomed on their first time. And it really drives the point home that something as simple as saying hi to a person can totally change the way that they feel about God. And God says, I'm going to do a little bit with what you, or no, he's going to do a lot with a little bit that you have to offer, like, because he thinks it's that important. And so I've used the phrase offering up, like, what you have, your life, your money. So I kind of want to unpack that a little bit, because I was talking with Gary at Summit, and we're just like, do people know what it means to offer up, like, your life, your time, your money? And I started thinking about it yesterday, and I was like, you know, let me put myself as a person that's walking into a church for the first time. And I hear Jordan up here on stage, and he's like, you need to offer up your life. Like, the mental picture that comes into my mind is like, I'm like, I have to offer up my life? Like, I'm up here on stage with a knife, and they're like, Jordan, you need to offer yourself up. And Gary's like singing songs like, in like a choir robe, and I'm like, wait, I have to offer my life? This is not what I signed up for. That's what I picture, because that's what it sounds like. But it's really two different, it's multiple things, but the two things that I want to focus on today are offering up your life in one way is like offering up when you say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to give you the sins, the things that I struggle with. I'm going to offer that up to you because I want to change. I want to be different. I want to follow a life that you have set out for me. And that's one way of saying it. And the other one is using your gifts and your talents, offering up what you have, like, to help out at church. Like Hannah. Hannah was up here. Is Hannah in here? Give Hannah a round of applause because she played keyboard for the first time today. And that was awesome. And so she said, I'm going to offer up my talents and my gifts. And she tried out on Tuesday. It was in the band today. And she just said, I'm gonna use this to help out at church. And so that's another way where we can offer up the gifts and the talents that we have for God. And God says, when you do that, when you offer up your life, when you offer up what you have, I will always, always, always provide for you. And some of you guys that are here have heard my story before, so I'm not going to tell the whole spiel unless you want to hear it. No. And so there's two big ways where I've seen that I've been able to offer things up to God, and he has provided for me. And so I want to share those with you. Number one is love. Love. So when I started helping out at High Point, I went through a really tough breakup. I was all in, like, I'm going to get married. I love you so much. And then it was like, it's over. It's like, oh, okay. So I was pathetic for, like, 2 months. I was like, I miss you so much. And I was just the most pathetic dude ever. And at a certain point, I remember my friend David said to me, he said, you have to choose happiness. You have to choose not to let this bring you down. And so I did. I was like, all right, God, I'm going to start helping out at High Point. And I started working here, and I was like, God, I'm going to offer this up to you. And the coolest thing is that since I've been here, I have gained the coolest group of friends you could ever ask for, the coolest group of dudes specifically that I could ask for. I can talk to them about anything. You know, I got David. He used to be here. Gary, Ryan, Kyle, Kevin, Damon, all these guys that are around me. There's even more than that. Great. That every time I'm down, I'm hurt, I'm stressed, something like that. God has provided me with these guys that are like, they're there for me. They're solid. We can sit in a hot tub on a Saturday night, and I can just tell them all about my life. Just things like that, where it's just like, I have been provided with this awesome group of friends that can support me, especially through love. And the number two area that I see that God has provided for me is money. So if you know, if you work at a church, you don't necessarily make millions of dollars or even hundreds of thousands. Or even, you make like a lot less than I was planning on. And at some point, I was like, all right, God, I'm going to switch my degree. I'm going to switch my major. And I'm just going to go in. And I was like, this is scary because I'm going to make a lot less money than I thought I was. And so I said, all right, I'm going to offer that up to you, my life. And then it was like, hey, Jordan, so you need to tithe. If you don't know what tithing is, that's giving a portion of your paycheck, each paycheck, back to God. And what you're saying is, God, you have provided me with this money, so I'm going to give back to you. Like, basically saying thank you. Saying, I want to support what you're doing, God, because you have supported me so much. And so I was like, I'm going to make less money, and I have to give more money to the church. I was like, 2 + 2 = 0. What? I'm broke. And I was like, all right, God, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I did it. And the coolest thing over the last, like, 3-4 years is that there's never been a place where I've missed a bill. I've been in such financial need that I can't, like, do anything or go anywhere, buy gas. Like, God has always provided for me. He gave me a second job. I get a coach running. I get to run with them. That's such a dream come true. And actually, it's kind of a, I know it sounds, this is going to sound, like, small and weird, but 4 weeks ago, I was hanging out with my homies. We were just chilling in the house. And my friend Damon leaves. And he comes barging back in the door, and he's like, dude, somebody just smashed out the windows on our car. And I was like, what? So I walk outside, and I see my back window is smashed out. And I said, like, 8 words that pastors aren't supposed to say. And I was pacing around. I was like, I'm so mad. Like, it was really like, oh, I'm so mad. But I was like, inside, I was like, I'm so mad. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm a pastor. I don't make a ton of money. I'm trying to save up to move to California. This sucks. And so I was like, all right. Gonna swipe it on the credit card. $211 for a new window on the credit card. I was like, I'll just pay it off in chunks. And then it was really cool to see how I didn't even ask God, and He provided for me. Where I came home one day, and Gary was like, "Here's a little slip for $150. All you have to do is open up a bank account." And I was like, "Ow, ow!" I was like, "Dang it!" I was like, "That is so cool that even just a little way, God said, you've given me this, so I'm gonna provide for you." And it sounds silly, but it's so cool to see how He does that. And I know that you guys, like, money is a big thing. Some of you guys in the room have seen your parents fight over money. A lot of you may have seen your parents divorce over money. And so that's one of the big ones, just offering up what we have, our time, our money, to God. And He says, I'm always going to provide for you. And so I want to ask you a question. What is something that you can offer up to God? What is it that you can offer up to Him? Is your family in need and you're stressed about it? Are you holding a grudge against somebody? Do you need to forgive somebody or ask for forgiveness? Is there some sin? If you've chosen to follow God and say, I'm a Christian, is there a sin that is just bringing you and pulling you away from God? What is it that you can offer up to God? Because it's so cool. And I can say from firsthand experience, it is so cool and life-changing to see the way that God will provide for you and the way that He will work in your life when you choose to give it up to Him, when you choose to offer what you have up to Him. every single time. He's going to provide for you. And I kind of want to close with this, and I think it's really important to understand this about God's provision, about God providing for you. And it's going to be the last filling up here, and it won't always happen your way. It won't always happen your way. God says he's going to provide. I've said it like a million times today. When we offer what we have, he says he's going to provide. But a lot of times our selfish like ambitions get in the way. That we're like, all right, God, you say you're going to provide, so make the money rain from heaven. Let's get this going. And we're like, this has to happen now. I'm in need now. God, right now, provide for me. You said you were going to. But the thing is that God has a plan. And it doesn't, most of the time, it doesn't happen the way that we think it's going to happen. You know, I didn't know that after I decided to work for a church that I was going to get a coaching job to help me make more money. I didn't know that Gary was going to give me that little slip of paper that says get $150 for doing nothing. I didn't know that was going to happen. But the thing is that when we're patient and we trust, we don't get discouraged, we're patient and we trust that God says he will provide for us. He will. He'll come through. My favorite verse, it's going to come up here on the screen, my favorite verse of all time. I say this all the time, but this is my favorite verse. It's Hebrews 13:5. And at the end of it, it says, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. The last two lines are literally like two of my favorite lines in the Bible, because God says, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. And that's what he's saying. When you offer up what you have to God, he will always provide for you. He will always, always come through for you. So kind of your action step today. I have this little thing on the back of your outline, and it says, God, I want to offer blank to you. Please show me how I can give it up to you. And so I kind of asked you the question already. What is something that you can offer up to God personally? What is something that you can give up to him? And so you may need some time. You may need some more time to think about it, but you might have that. And what I want you to do is I want you to write that on that line when you think about it. And the second thing that you're going to do is you're going to pray, okay? And so this is the important part. This is all important. But this is really, really key, okay? I realized this week in watching this movie called Gravity. It's a really cool movie if you haven't seen it. I realized that not everybody knows how to pray. Like, even people that have been going to church a long time, not everybody knows how to pray. And we are wired. We are wired for spirituality. Whether you're a Christian in this room or not, God has designed you to be in relationship with him, to talk to him. And so I want to show you guys a really cool clip that I saw this week that helped me understand this idea of communicating with God and spirituality. So go ahead and roll that.
Oh, I'm dying, God. I know we're all going to die. Everybody knows that. But I'm going to die today. Funny that, you know, to know. But the thing is that I'm still scared. I'm really scared. Nobody will mourn for me. No one will pray for my soul. Will you mourn for me? Will you say a prayer for me? Or is it too late? I mean, I'd say one for myself, but I've never prayed in my life, so. Nobody ever taught me how. Nobody ever taught me how.
So, I think that's such a powerful clip. After I watched it, what I realized is that we're all, like, we're built to communicate with God. Like, he wired every single human being to be that way. And some of us haven't reached that point where we realize that or not. And so I was watching this, and I was like, I know how to pray because I've been going to church my entire life. But does everybody on a Sunday know how to pray? And I guarantee you there are people in this room that haven't prayed before. There are people that don't know how to pray, and that's okay, because we all learn. And so what I want to help you with this week is understanding how to communicate this with God. Communicating this idea of, God, what can I offer up to you? What can I give to you? And show me how you can use it. And so that line that you have that you just wrote in, God, what can I offer to you? Please show me how I can give it up to you. That's a prayer. And if you haven't prayed before, that's just a simple prayer. You don't have to have all these elaborate, like, theological, words that like nobody understands. You don't have to say that. God doesn't say that you have to have all these big words when you're praying to him. He just says, I want to talk to you, just like you're talking to a friend. I just want to communicate with you and talk with you. And so if you've never prayed before, I really challenge you, if you haven't prayed, or even if you have, I challenge you to just simplify it this week. Just try praying these two different lines. God, I want to offer this up to you. Show me how I can use this, how you can use me. And I guarantee you, it's so cool. It's so cool to see how when we offer up what we have to God, he provides for us every single time. So,